This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The angels sing in joy. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. They tell shepherds in a field, today is born a Savior in the city of Bethlehem. Welcome to all of you at this great feast of the celebration of the birth of Christ. Welcome to you if you've been preparing and coming to Mass throughout Advent at home and at church. Welcome also if you've made a special effort to come to Mass at Christmas with your family or on your own. Welcome, whatever your reason for being here. So on behalf of Father Jonathan, Father Terry, the other deacons, myself, and all the people of St. Peter's, welcome to this celebration. Hopefully there are no husbands who got their wives a vacuum cleaner or a frying pan for Christmas. You may still have time to go and make that exchange before it's too late. But if you did, you're welcome to stay here and pray for forgiveness for the rest of the day, and maybe Father will hear your confession, I don't know. If you got tools for your husband or father, that will be one of the great acts of love in all of history. Santa Claus is pretty important this day. So what do you call people who are afraid of Santa Claus? Claustrophobic, of course. So they tell us that the four stages of life are, you believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you are Santa Claus, you eventually come to look like Santa Claus. I do worry a little bit about what it does to the faith of our children when they find out that Santa isn't real. And of course, we talk about how there is a spirit of Santa Claus. But the most important thing for us is that Jesus is real. The Christmas season celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus and the ways that he has showed himself as the presence of God among us. For the church, only the Easter celebration of the Lord's death and rising is more important than the Christmas season. But there is, of course, the 4th century bishop, St. Nicholas, on whom Santa Claus, the modern idea of Santa Claus, is modeled. But what is that model that he had for us? He showed us how Christians are meant to live. St. Nicholas put the birth of Jesus Christ at the center of his life, his ministry, and his entire existence. So we hear today about the prophet Isaiah foretelling that the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. A child has been born to us, and authority rests on his shoulders. And he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are the words from Isaiah, not specifically today's reading, but around today's reading. And the psalmist, who didn't know Jesus Christ, says, a light will shine on us this day. The Lord is born for us, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the gift of love made visible. Jesus clothed himself in our human condition, with our joys and our struggles. Jesus' love embraces all our fragile elements. He takes them on and he welcomes them with tenderness. So we know that while it is a season of joy, if there is darkness somewhere in our lives, which there is for many of us, some sadness or some emptiness, Jesus Christ came to let us know that we are not alone in that place of darkness. Pope Benedict XVI said, to those of you who are passing through a difficult moment on your journey of faith, never stop searching for the profound truth about yourself and other things with the inner eye of the heart. God will not fail to provide light to see by the warmth and to make the heart feel that he loves us and wants to be loved by us. Now, in the gospel, of course, we have this story about shepherds, and the implication is that there are sheep there as well. Sometimes in the gospels, we're the sheep, and that's hard for us to kind of deal with because, you know, sheep are kind of dumb and maybe worse, they're kind of smelly. And I don't believe that's true for any of us here today. I'm sure most of us have taken showers today. But today we're actually compared to the shepherds because they live lives of ordinariness. They might not be the lowest on the social scale, but they're well down there. So the idea is that most of us are included. The message is for everyone. And like the shepherds, We're invited to be so inspired that we will want to go where that message is. What we will find, though, is that ultimately that message isn't a where. It's not a place that we can go to and find the great message. It's not a what. It's not a thing. It's not a when. Like if I was born at that time, it would have been better than this time. Ultimately, the truth is a who. It is Jesus himself. He didn't come into the world just to show us how to be loving. He came to show us love itself. The angels tell the shepherds in the field, even if you are least among the people, God has come for you. Those angels are those beings who live in the glorious presence of the Almighty Creator, and they bring the message of that presence. So what we're invited to experience as our greatest joys are mere shadows of the heavenly experience. But this is a day we come very close to it. And we see in this passage, the reading, that the heavenly hosts, that the shepherds actually have an insight, almost like a window, into heaven itself. And they see the praising of God and the joy that is there because Christ is born for the world. And those angels were there to tell those shepherds that that same vision was for them. And it is also for you and I. Now, if you like, I always used to like to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas. I haven't watched it for a few years, but Charlie Brown's having a problem. He can't kick his blues, his Christmas blues. And it kind of comes to a head when he realizes that even his sister, Sally, is trapped in the desire for things. I love her line. She says, "All I want is what I have coming to me. All I want is my fair share." And we could ask what Charlie Brown asks. What's the meaning of Christmas? And of course, the answers would include many of the things that we do experience at Christmas. Family getting together, celebrating the love that we have for one another, the joys of giving and receiving gifts, the anticipation of everything to come, our best food, whatever it happens to be. Even the inspiration to do good things. All of these things are true and good reasons for enjoying this day, this season. But deep down, I think that we like the celebration of Christmas because it tells us a lot about the deeper meaning of love. And we need faith to go to that place. Faith tells us that the reason we love the celebration tells us the reason that we love, because God has first loved us. If God didn't first love us, we would have to ask, where does love itself come from? And if love was just about good feelings, well, we know that's not enough, is it? And that's why God has to come directly into our existence. There's a story that goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a man who worked very hard just to keep food on the table for his family. He was upset on Christmas Eve, especially when he saw that his child, his 5-year-old daughter, had used all of the expensive gold paper to decorate one shoebox that she had put under the Christmas tree. He was also concerned about where she had gotten the money to buy what was in the shoebox. Nevertheless, the next morning, the little girl, filled with excitement, brought the gift to her daddy and said, "This is for you, Daddy." As he opened the box, the father was embarrassed and regretted his earlier overreaction. But then when he opened the shoebox, he found that it was empty, and he got upset at her all over again, reminding her that a gift should have something in it. The little girl looked at him with sad tears rolling down her cheeks, and she whispered, "Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it until it was full." And of course, the father was crushed. He fell on his knees, and he hugged his daughter, and he begged her to forgive him. It's told that the father kept this little gold box by his bed for all the years of his life. Whenever he was discouraged or faced difficult problems, he would open the box, take out an imaginary kiss, and remember the love of the child who had put it there. In a very real sense, God has placed the love of God in a child who came to us 2,000 years ago and comes to us again this Christmas and says, "I want to come into your life. I want to be that presence." Each of us has been given that little gold box filled with unconditional love and kisses. And there's no more possession that is more precious than any one of us could hold, because that gift is Jesus himself. So it may be a good time to think today, as we open gifts or as we come together as family, that it's a good time to receive in our hearts the one that this holy season is all about, Jesus Christ himself.